chapter 7, verse 19, of the Bhagavad Gita.
Next verse is even more beautiful. Each verse is so nice. It's such a pleasure for me when I, you know, just read about it and prepare it. Beautiful verses. The next one talks a little more about the wise person. Beautiful verse. It's very, very nice. How does this wise person work in the world, and what a great inspiration this verse is. I think if we apply that in our life, you don't need anything else. Actually, they say any verse of the Bhagavad Gita, just pick up one verse, understand it and apply it, and that's all you need. There's a 700 verses. Pick one that you enjoy, and that's all you need. There is nothing more in this world you need. Just pick up one verse. Any of these verses, the one we did last time about this, and the one we're going to do now, that's all you need. There is nothing more in world to study. So we'll do verse number 19.
Bahu naam janma naam ante jnanvan maam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabhah.
So the last line is Sa Mahatma. Sa means that. Mahatma means the great soul. That great soul, how does he function in the world? And how does he reach me? The Lord says,
Bahu Naam Janma Naam Ante.
Bahu Naam means a lot. Janma Naam means birth. Ante means the end. After many, many births, the wise person, the Lord says, he comes to me. Maam prapadyate, comes to me. And then what is his understanding? Vasudev sarvamiti. Vasudev is one of Krishna's names because he was the son of Vasudev. Vasudev was his father. So Vasudev's son is called Vasudev. Here he has put Vasudev, but you could here put Jesus, you could here put Shiva, you could put Mother Goddess. So the Lord Sarvam iti, this whole world, Sarvam iti, this entire world is Vasudev, the Lord alone. Sa Mahatma, such a great soul. Sudurlabhah, labhah means to get, to obtain. Durlabhah means it is difficult to obtain such a Mahatma. Sudurlabhah means it is extremely difficult to meet such a great saint. That means these great saints are rare and few and far between. And if you have the opportunity to meet him, you are blessed. So that is what he says, that such a person is difficult to get. So now each one of these lines has a lot of meaning, and I'll try my best to cover that. So first he says, Bahu naam janma naam ante jnanvan maam prapadyate. Bahu naam janma naam. And we know that. You know that we have, if you believe in rebirths, we have gone through thousands of births as an animal and as a plant, and I mean as a plant and then an animal and a fish and a bird and a monkey and then a human. And then even among human births, there are, you know, some humans who are very base, very corrupt, and then slowly they evolve to become a little more generous and a little bit more better, and ultimately they evolve to the state of supermanhood or the sainthood, what is called. And so one has to go through several births to evolve to that highest state of sainthood. And there are some saints who from age, like from childhood, like Shankaracharya ji, who, you know, whose teachings we follow in this Chidmaya mission. By age 9, he was already a realized master. Actually, by age 5 or 6, he was already composing works and doing, you know, beautiful writing things and talking and all. And by 15 and 16, he had finished all his work. He had written commentaries on all the great scriptures. He had already studied everything. He had done so much by age 16 that there was nothing more for him to accomplish. The remaining 16 years of his life, he just spent in traveling and talking to people and teaching them. So it says that saints are not, you know, it's not instantaneous, but it is a gradual progress of evolution. But the other way I look at it Yes, but then, you know, I might say, I am so far away, maybe I have to die and take another 10 births, you know, before I can become a saint. Then it becomes very depressing. So another way to understand is, bahu naam janma naam ante, when you talk about many births, it is throughout this lifetime, we are constantly going through birth and death. Like, you know, I was a child, then from a child I became a youth, then from a youth you become a young man, then you become a middle age, then you become old. So the childhood died and the youth was born, and the youth died and the, you know, young man was born, and then the middle age. So constantly we are going through birth and death. Our bodies are constantly dying. They say that every 7 years, every cell in your body dies and is replaced by a new cell. So I'm constantly, my body is going through birth and death. My mind is constantly going through emotional changes. You know, joy and sorrow. Joy is being born and then joy dies and then sorrow is being born. Or sorrow dies and then joy comes again. Intellectually, you know, my ideas change. Especially we find in this country, you know, when their people are teenagers, they are very liberal. They go to Berkeley and they say, you know, this world, there's too much exploitation. The poor people are being persecuted and there is, you know, this and that. The government should help everybody. And then soon as they start earning, then they say, no, no, no. They become very Republican. They become very conservative. Taxes are too high in this country. Why are we helping all these people in welfare? So our ideas change, our emotions change, our body change. So we constantly go through birth and death. So everything changes. Like April 3rd died and April 4th came. April 4th will die, April 5th comes. Like now we are sitting in this Bal Vihar, but after some time, you know, you might say, this guy is talking too much. I hope he'll become quiet so I can, the class will end and I'll go home. And that will happen too. You know, this class will end and the class will die and then your other experiences will be born. You might be going to watch a movie or watch TV or have lunch or whatever. So, bahu naam janma naam ante jnanvan maam prapadyate. So he says, having gone through all these life's experiences where each experience is born, stays for a while and dies, this wise person realizes that I, the Lord alone, is my goal, is his goal. And we find that people go through that. You know, I have a house, okay, bought a big house with 2 cars and 3 cars and a small cottage on the beach and, you know, my own private plane and my helicopter and my power. And then he realizes, having gone through all those things of joys and sorrows, he realizes that that's not giving me permanent joy. And we find that people in this world who had everything and still were not happy. You look at Howard Hughes. He was the 2nd richest man in the world. And he died so miserable, so unhappy, all alone in some penthouse in Texas. Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley. They had all the power, all the wealth, all the beauty, all the admiration, the praise. Everything they had, and yet they died of drug overdose. You know, they committed suicide. So, why? Because they are looking for joy in the wrong place. They think that by getting more wealth or by getting more power or by getting more position or by beauty or whatever. But the wise person, having acquired all these things, as we said in the last verse, anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasva mam. Having seen all these temporary joys and sorrows of this world, then only, he says, some people are wise, like, you know, Shankaracharya or Raman Maharishi or those great saints. At a very young age, they understood the futility of this world. But most of us have to go through a lot of joys and sorrows before we realize. And then how does this person function in the world? Vasudeva Sarvamiti. He sees the Lord everywhere, everything. There was a very famous saint in India, Narsi Mehta, who talks about this very beautifully in his most famous bhajan, which was also dear to Mahatma Gandhi. He says, the true Vaishnav, the true devotee of the Lord, is not the one who wears a big tilak or who wears orange clothes, or who, you know, goes to the temple. Yeah, those are all okay. That's good if you go to the temple, if you, you know, pray to the Lord. But he says the true devotee of the Lord is the one who knows the serving, the suffering of all. One who knows the suffering of all and then works to eradicate that suffering, but without any ego. He has no ego, he has no pride, he has no arrogance. Why? Vasudeva Sarvamiti. He sees the Lord in everybody, and including in me. So when I am serving somebody else, he has no sense of ego, because he understands that the one that is serving is the Lord, and the one that is being served is the Lord. So when you see that oneness in everybody, then where is the room for ego? Where is, like when I take care of my foot, if my foot is hurt, I take care of it spontaneously. If my foot is hurt, why? Because it is me. So when that wise person sees everybody as me, myself, then there is no room for ego. There is no room for pride. There is no room for that I am somebody great. Man abhimananire. He is not even the slightest trace of arrogance, the slightest trace of ego, because he does not even feel that I did anything. Even that sense of doership is gone, that I am the doer, that sense goes away. Then where is the room for ego? Where is the room for arrogance? So Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlava. And that kind of people are very few in this world. People always come and ask, you know, the other day was somebody, where can I find a prophet? Where can I find a guru? Where can I find a master? I'm looking for a guru. And it's not that the guru is somewhere going to descend from the sky, you know, with a halo around his head and shining and, you know, bless you. The guru comes every month here. You know, we have such wonderful teachers who come every month. We had Prabhu Chaitanya who came last week. Swami Ishwarananda ji comes, Vimal ji comes. And to think that somehow miraculously some guru will appear from somewhere and put his hand and bless me is looking for... He says these Mahatmas are there, but we don't recognize them. He says that a person who sees the Lord everywhere, how does he function? In the Ishavasya Upanishad, it is said very beautifully, Isha Vasya Midagam Sarvam. Whatever is moving and unmoving, everything is pervaded by that Isha, by that Lord. And a wise person understands that. Not only he understands it in all the moving objects, in all the divine, in all the living beings, animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, but even in unmoving objects, he sees the presence of the Lord, even in the chair, even in his shoes, even in his car, and he respects everything. There is this very famous story. There was this Buddhist monk who was a great, very, very well known in this whole area, and everybody respected him, and people used to go to him for knowledge. And so this devotee who was suffering, one of these arti, artharti, jitnyasu, one of these suffering ones, he goes to this Buddhist monk, and he walks into the door, takes his shoes, he threw one here and one there, and he fell at the feet of the Mahatma. Oh Lord, please save me, I am suffering. So that monk says, get out of here. What? I approached you to my former relief and you're telling me get out? He said, yeah, get out. He was very shocked. What did I do wrong? He says, you know, these shoes, where did you come from? He said, oh, I walked 5 miles to come to you. He says, yeah, but what carried you was your shoes. You walked 5 miles in these shoes to come to me, and you don't even have respect for your shoes to put them nicely, and you disrespect for... First, learn how to respect your shoes before you learn how to respect the teacher. So that is what it says, that a wise person sees the Lord in all the creatures, all the beings, and then he has no distinction. You know, this is mine and this is not mine. This is belongs to my state, this belongs to my community, this belongs to my race, my color, my religion. But Vasudeva Sarvamiti, and such Mahatmas are very rare to find. There are how many Jesus do you see in history? how many Shankaracharyas, how many Buddhas, how many Swami Chinmayanandas? They are very few and far between. So, when you have an occasion to meet a wise person, take advantage of the opportunity to be with him, learn from him or her. Again, you know, they could be a man or a woman. But learn from the wise person, be in the presence. Just being in the presence of this wise person is like being in the presence of the Lord. Learn from him and serve him, and through service, through knowledge. Not only that, but when you are in contact with these wise people, you see how they function in the world, how they have devoted their whole life towards service of mankind, towards serving the Lord. And then such a person instantly sees the Lord everywhere. There was a very famous saint called Saint Angela of Foligno. Foligno is a place in Italy. And she has written a very beautiful paragraph where she said, having attained that highest state of nirvana, the oneness with the Lord, she says, my soul suddenly experienced something wonderful. She says, I saw the Lord everywhere, not only here, but even beyond, even far away, beyond the deepest ocean, furthest part, everywhere I saw the Lord. And then she says, I saw his power, his compassion, his glory, his beauty in all beings, in all humans, everywhere. And then she says, my soul, having experienced that, it said, I was forced to say, the whole world is full of God. So she ends that paragraph by saying, the whole world is full of God. The whole world is full of God. And that is the experience of all these great saints. And that is what we have to apply in our life. That, see the Lord everywhere, constantly remember him. And while I am doing my duties, remember the Lord constantly, chant his name. Remember that the Lord is in me when I'm cooking food for my children, for my guests, when I'm seeing my patients, when I'm dealing with other people. Constantly see him and constantly serve him with the body. With the mind, I should love him. Constantly have an attitude of love. And with my intellect, I should know him. I should read the scriptures. I should meet with saints. And through this association with saints, I will know his presence. And through my vasanas, I should change my desires. Instead of making my desires selfish, make my desires for him. And slowly, as I evolve my thoughts and turn my thought constantly to him, I'll become closer to him and constantly feel his presence. There was a very famous saint in India, Ramakrishna Paramhans. He actually worshipped the mother goddess. And he was ignorant, but he had not been to any school or college. Sorry, I shouldn't use the word ignorant. He was a great saint, but he had never been to any school or college. And all he knew was the mother goddess. He was a priest in the temple and he used to constantly pray to her. And ultimately, he became so much identified with that mother goddess, you know, that she and I are one, that sometimes devotees would bring prasad, would bring sweets. And instead of offering them to the mother goddess, he would eat them himself and think, I'm giving it to the mother goddess. People would bring garland. Instead of garlanding the statue, he would garland himself. And people used to say, he's a madman. You know, he's crazy. But he had that total identification with God, and he had none of these three. He did not want relief from suffering. It is said that in his later years, he got a very horrible throat cancer. His whole side was hurting. He was in a lot of pain. And he couldn't eat, he couldn't swallow, and people used to go and tell him, you know, he actually could see the mother goddess every day. That's how close he was to her. And they said, you see mother Kali every day, why don't you ask her to remove your cancer, you know, to cure you? He says, am I foolish? Am I going to ask her for such a small thing? First of all, this suffering I have is as a result of my karmas. And he was way beyond the body. He says, it's happening to my body. It's not happening to me. Secondly, if for by some reason, if I do get freedom from cancer, I still have to take another birth because of my karmas, because the mother goddess has removed my cancer. And thirdly, when I go to her, I should ask for her. Why should I ask her for relief from suffering? So he automatically went beyond that. As far as knowledge, he actually, as I said, had never been to a school or college. But when devotees asked him questions, the answers he gave were so profound that it was like a great scholar was speaking. In fact, he tells a very beautiful example. He says, like, into the ocean, to find the depth of the ocean, the salt doll disappears. So similarly, a devotee, when he goes to find the God, then he disappears. Then he becomes one with God. So these kind of beautiful messages he could give, and that he never went to school or college. So this automatically came to him. Then again, he had no desire for wealth. He was totally devoted to the Lord. In fact, there is another beautiful story. There is so much, when you listen to lives of saints, it is so inspiring. There was another beautiful story about Ramakrishna Paramhans, where it says that he never touched money because he decided that having contact with money creates the desire to possess more and all that. And so he did not want anything for himself. Whatever the devotees brought, whatever food they brought, he ate. Whatever, if they brought him some clothes, he wore, and he never acquired any. In fact, he would not even like to touch money. And so one of his devotees wanted to play a trick on him. They said, oh, this person doesn't touch money. Let's see. So one night when he was sleeping, asleep, they put a coin under his mattress. He used to sleep on this very thin little mattress. And that morning he woke up and he was very disturbed. So they said, what happened? He said, I didn't sleep at all last night. I don't know, something was wrong with my bed. So he could tell that. So but the point of the matter is that he had none of these three. And once he acquired the Lord, then everything was available to him. So that is the hallmark of this wise Mahatma. And he says, if you meet such a Mahatma, stay with him, learn from him, and acquire the knowledge. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Akashchetu Prabhavave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Yodama. Hari Om. Thank you.